Guys, are you looking for that extra confidence when it's time to have fun? Let me tell you about BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. BlueChew's tablets help men combat all forms of ED. BlueChew is also an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, all done online. Blue Chew's tablets, made in the United States, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. And here's a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code URBAN at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code URBAN, to receive your first month free. Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, and the homie Will TR out. We got a banger of, and also my fault, we're also on Empire Media, AmpireMedia.com. We got a banger of a show. I got a bunch of guests. Just, you know, shout out to the homies Will and Ray Jeezy. Then I am, but you know, they always holding us down. Hey, subscribe. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Keim Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Keim, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Also, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T would normally say this, but he's not in the building. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll discuss the Washington Commanders signing Terry McLaurin to an extension. Tone from the ProTech Sports Network on YouTube will jump on the show for that. At 8:20, founder of Double Take Sports, co-host of the Triple W podcast, and Sports Journey's Washington Wizards reporter, Karita Parks, will join the show to talk about the Wizards trading for Monte Morris and Will Barton. At 8:35, we'll talk about the NBA offseason moves, host of The Real Deal with Damian Adams, and co-host of the Third and Three podcast. Damian Adams will join us for this segment. Finally, in our segment, HBCU Corner, we have a pre-taped interview with new Morgan State football coach Damon Wilson. But first, right now, we have the homie Tone from ProTech Sports Network. He's also on YouTube on the line. What's good, Tone?
What's going on, Wilson?
Man, chilling, bro, chilling. Glad to have you on. I know we've had you on all Burgundy and Go everything, but I'm glad to have you actually on the Urban Sports Scene show. You know, this is our live show. I'm glad to have you on.
For sure, man.
All right. Appreciate you, my man. All right, let's get right into it, man. The Washington Commanders and Terry McLaurin agreed to a three-year extension worth $23.3 million per year in new money. Your thoughts when you heard the deal, my man?
I was happy, first of all.
Of course, right?
I didn't want to go in the season without Terry McLaurin re-signed to an extension. It's great to see that we're paying our guys now. We're not letting people walk. Uh-huh. Go to free agency, go to another team, get their bag. I'm glad they're getting their bag here. They did with Jonathan Allen last year. They did with Terry McLaurin this year. Now I expect them to keep paying their core guys. They believe that part of the core. So it's very good to see. Change of culture is always great.
And isn't it important to have him like right before training camp? Were you scared that he may, you know, be, you know, maybe holding out even a little bit, you know, towards the end or middle of training camp?
Nah.
Okay.
They were going to get it done. I wasn't worried about that.
Okay. Okay. Do you think that in terms of the importance, or in terms of the money, all right, so let's go here. In terms of the money that he's getting, you know, a lot of folks, whoever they are, a lot of people are haters. How do you feel about the contract? Do you think it's a fair deal? Do you think it's a deal that, you know, he was a little, you know, a fair deal for Terry, a fair deal for the team, or did, you know, did Terry take a bargain, you know, to stay with the squad? Like, how do you feel about that part of the deal?
Well, shout to my guy Jairus from Jairus's Corner, one of our five content creators in the Commanders community. He was saying that Terry needs to ask for AJ Brown money. I was like, no, because the Eagles overpaid. Don't make us overpay with the Eagles. That's like, stupid. Like, no, like, no. Don't let us compound the Eagles' mistake of giving AJ Brown 25 minutes a season.
Yeah.
No. So I thought the deal was extremely fair for both sides.
Okay.
I like it for Freeze for Terry because they get some second bite at the apple in 3 years and allows them to get another extension that's way more than this one.
Agreed.
And as for the Commanders, it's a fair deal, like 23 free per. That's not horrible for wide receiver. Christian Kirk is getting 18 and they have a 1,000-yard season in his career.
Facts,
so,
man. Facts.
I mean, like, come on. Like, it's not the worst thing. If AJ Brown got 25 and he didn't have 1,000 yards last year. So,
yeah.
Put that in
perspective. Yeah. I'm with you. I kind of look at it like, you know, I think Scary is that dude. You know what I mean? Because I do think that if he wanted to, he could have kind of leveraged this team a little bit more money because of, like, the whole, you know, with the temperature of the squad. You got a guy, like you just said, that is a homegrown dude who, in terms of the fan base, everybody loves Scary because the way he plays football, he just has that aura of a real leader, and he's kind of done it the hard way, right? A third-round pick building himself up to be this guy, right? So, and you see all these other dudes, and you know, out there in the wide receiver market getting paid, and this dude hasn't even had the quarterbacks these dudes had. And now it's like he's at this position where – he's got free agency, and they waited long enough where the market has kind of jumped up a little bit, right? So it's like, yeah. if you Terry, you like, you know what? If I wanted to, I could have tried to stretch out a couple mil because I know my value to this squad.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely agree with that. He could be like, oh, yeah, I want 27.
Yeah,
I want
true.
Uh-huh. Da-da-da-da-da. He's like, dang, oh, okay. Because we don't got much of a choice. I gotta give you the money.
Yeah, so for real, like, you know, like, you don't have a choice because he is the guy. Like, he is that leader. And he's the guy that, to me, like, there's guys you worry about. I mean, we've had Albert Haynesworth, right? So there's guys you worry about. You give the bag and you're not sure if they're going to perform. He's not that type of dude. Like, you give him the bag, you like, all right, he the type of dude, and I said this on another show, he the type of dude that if you give him the bag, folks are probably going to question it, right? They're going to be like, oh, he ain't had that many, he ain't have a 1,500-yard season, he ain't have a 1,200-yard season. But what folks are going to say is that how he's going to take it is like, oh, really? I'm going to show you why I deserve this bag. Because that's how he's built. Like, he built different. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got that money. It ain't going to make him continue going to be content. A lot of people get content when they get the bag. Him, he the type of dude that from a distance, like when you see the way somebody play football, you like, oh, I'm going to show you why I deserve this money rather than, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. He definitely the type of guy like, okay, all right, y'all gave me that. I'm outperforming this. Uh-huh. When it's time to come out to the table again, I know y'all going to kick out a lot more.
So. Yep.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's definitely Terry McGrawin all day.
You know it. And you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Ampire Media at AmpireMedia.com. I'm rapping with my homie Tone from the Pro Tech Sports Network. You can find it on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe to it. Don't be stingy. All right. With Carson Wentz as McLaurin's QB, how do you feel like, and Scott Turner as the offensive coordinator, how do you feel like they're going to utilize Terry compared to how he's been utilized before?
Okay, so I made a video about this, spoiler alert, so I won't go. You know,
yeah, I got you.
But I can go ahead and watch that video about Scott Turner, and I think he should adjust his play calling and help Terry to help the receiving corps, uh-huh. especially Terry get open. I think that Scott Turner should move Terry around, number one. Uh-huh. Sometimes having the slot with a slot corner. He'll have to be at the Z at all, the X at all times. Like, uh-huh. Move him around. You know what I'm saying? Put him in the Z, put him in the Y, put him in motion, give him just sweeps. Just find a way to give him the ball creatively. Get from screen, things of that nature. I think that Scott's gonna do that now. Because I think he has the appropriate quarterback to do these things. Uh-huh. I think with no offense to Taylor Heineke, but he just had arm strength to throw those deeper passes and things like that to Terry. We saw Terry Wilder so many deep crossing routes and these deep corners, and uh-huh. these big posts wide open, burning Trayvon Diggs to goodness knows when, and he can't get the ball because this boy can't throw more than 40 yards.
Yeah, bro. Preach, bro. Preach.
So my fault.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I said preach. I'm with you.
Yeah. So like, it just with Wentz, like Wentz got a cannon. Like he can throw 50 yards. It won't hurt him. Like, uh-huh. 50 yards down the field. Ah, Terry, let's go get that. I mean, Terry. I mean, Wentz is also prone to more turnovers too. But uh-huh. I think what Scott Turner needs to do is be balanced uh-huh. between the running pass to open up the play action, move Terry around. I think Terry gonna have a 1,400-1,500 yard season this year. I really believe Terry McLaurin is going to have that Justin Jefferson 2020 type of season. You got 1,500 yards? Where did this come from?
No, I'm with you. Yeah.
You don't know. What's this? Uh-huh. You got Jahan that takes attention away from him. If it also, you got a guy like Curtis Samuel back from injury, too, and they get these tight ends going, it's like, you can't double this boy now. Uh-huh. They're going to one-on-one, and you move him around. Sometimes he's on the slot corner. Sometimes he's on the second-best corner. Sometimes he's going to cook the best corner. Uh-huh. But he's going to get open. Because uh-huh. you're moving him around, you're getting creative. They get creative with that. Oh, my gosh. Boy's going to eat. Nothing more to say.
Now, he should eat. Like, there's not – so my thing is, like, I think you're going to see him use, like, you saw him his rookie year. That game against the Eagles kind of sticks, kind of, like, really stands out to me when Case Keenum was the quarterback. Now, Case Keenum didn't have the strongest arm in the world, but it's better than Taylor Heineke.
Strong enough,
right? He's better than Taylor Heineke. So you're going to me, you're going to see him do a lot. He's going to be on some go routes, a bunch of go routes, man. I think you get to really see, as fans, we're going to get to see that speed in use. You know what I'm saying? He's a good route runner. We know that. Like, he's a really good route runner. But we forget, like, how fast he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is a problem, right? Like, scary is a problem. So, we forget how fast he is and how dynamic he could be as a wide receiver. So, to me, I'm excited about it. I think that the sky's the limit to what he can do, you know, if Carson Wentz is even half of what he used to be. You know what I'm saying? If Carson Wentz is Carson Wentz that we saw in – I want like Philadelphia. That's like, I mean, if he's that Philadelphia, then this could be talking about Super Bowl. If he was in Philadelphia in his prime. But if he's the Carson Wentz of close to what he was in Indy, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody can ignore the one Jacksonville game, and we can all, you know, be all right. But if he could be close to that, then I think that, you know, this team has a thing with Scary, because Scary is going to actually be in a situation where the quarterback can actually overthrow him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean, and that's cool. Like, when you're that fast, you got to give him you got to actually give him that opportunity to be overthrown. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's got to have that opportunity. So having Scary in that situation where he's getting, now he has the opportunity to be overthrown, you know, it's something I think this team could really be, can make him more dangerous. Because, like, Deshaun Jackson used to say it all the time, like, dude, just throw it as far as you can. I'm gonna go get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm confident in my speed. I'm not saying that Scary is as fast as Deshaun Jackson is prime, but he fast enough, bro. That's 4.3 speed. Like, that's 4.3 legit speed. So I feel like you're going to see more playmaking ability out of Scary Terry. To me, he's already tough after the catch. Like, he already tough. Like, he can take a 5-yard pass and almost break it or break it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So you now, he only got to do that much work. If he get open, like, you won't have people like Trayvon Diggs talking crap or talking mess like they strapping Scary, when really the ball is underthrown. You know what I'm saying? So this is an opportunity now where he throw it out there, he leading. Trayvon Diggs can't catch up to that.
Yeah, nah, for sure. You know, he's going to get lit up, boy.
I'm serious. He's definitely, he's going to get lit up. It's going to be nasty. Like, I'm gonna tell folks who listening right now, Scary is going to be nasty. And I'm interested to see how just they going to work out together, how they going to link up, how Carson and Scary are going to link up. I want to see. So this is my question to you. This is another question to you. It's not actually, this just came to mind. So how much work do you want to see Scary and Carson do in the preseason? And not a lot of people don't like preseason, but how much work do you want to see them do together? Do you think it's important?
So a certain extent, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's quarterback, but Sarius played with so different quarterbacks. It's like the man had almost 100 yards in a playoff game with a guy that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude had 125 yards in his debut with a guy that, let's be real here, his kid was trash. Let's be real here. He's trash. So I think I said a quarter. Maybe in the first game, maybe two series. The second game, they're going to probably play a half. That's about it. Like, anything more than that, you're doing too much. Like, you know, average preseason stuff. You know, second game, the dress rehearsal. Uh-huh. Ahead and do your dress rehearsal. Play the first half. And, all right, bro, got to go sit down. Got to get ready for regular season. And then week one, yeah. You get that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've always been a fan of, like, you know, utilizing somebody in preseason. But I just feel like, you know what, you're right. Like, when you have a guy like Scary McLaurin, it gets to a point where, you know what, do you really need him now? Do you really need him? Like, do you really need to test that with Carson? Because, like you said, you made a great point that he's played with trash quarterbacks and made it work. So, like, you know, he can sit it out. He's already showed he's a pro.
Yeah,
you know
he's a pro's pro. He's the definition of that. So.
You know it. Hey, before I let you go, man, first off, tell our listeners about, you know, your channel, your YouTube channel, and, you know, what you got coming down the pipe.
Oh, yeah, man. So y'all can go subscribe me at Process Sports Network on YouTube. I do all Commanders content, all NFL stuff. So I want some NFL stuff. A little sprinkle of the NBA every now and then, but I'm going to get content soon. But, yeah, right now it's really just Commanders content and NFL content. I upload at least once a day. If not twice a day, depending on the day. I have a bunch of roundtable discussions with NFC East fans. Awesome. Also in the league. That's coming up very soon. I'm going to project the 53-man roster before training camp. I'm doing that this month as well. A bunch of stuff down the pipeline. Game previews on every Friday before any game during the regular season. I'll be streaming play-by-plays on Sundays if it's a road game. Honestly, the ticket holder, so the home games will not be streamed. All days at the stadium, unless we're that bad of a team, which I pray we're not. Hope we're actually pretty darn good. So I'm going to do that. Yeah, but, yeah, okay. you get my point.
Yeah, I get your point. They better not be a bad team, bro.
Game previews, post-game reactions, all that stuff on the channel, and just general NFL content.
Bet. Yeah, they better not be that bad, bro. They better not. I don't got time for that, bro. Real talk.
Hey, no patience.
Hey, how can folks catch you on social media, man?
Oh yeah, see, y'all can follow me on my personal Instagram is Tony_BFV. Mm-hmm. Also, you guys can follow me on my on the YouTube and Instagram at Protect Sports Network _. And you can find me on Twitter at PSN042893. And that's how you guys can find those socials, man. I don't do TikTok, none of that crazy stuff, but I just keep it simple with Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, man, you and me, bro. I can't do TikTok. It's too much work, man. I can only do Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's it.
That's it for me.
Yeah, man, it's just too much, man. Social media is just too much for me, man. I love it, and I hate it at the same time. I got
love-hate relationship.
You know what I'm saying? It's the worst. It really is. It's the worst, man. It really is. I could fall into a rabbit hole, and then all of a sudden I could be like, this ain't for me.
Hold up, man.
I
look at a couple posts and an hour go past.
I'm not even a good worker at the time, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not even productive. I'm like the worst. You know what I'm saying? I need to be productive. You know what I'm saying? I pray for that in my life. To be productive. Hey, man, thanks for being on, my man. Appreciate you. You know, I'm trying to get you back on again.
Well, yeah, man, let me know. Hit me up, bro.
I will. Got you, my man. All right, man. All right, dude. Take it easy, all right?
You too, man, for sure.
Bet.
All right, man.
All right. Again, you can tweet Tone at PSN042893. All right, the Wizards have a new point guard. Sports Journey's Washington Wizards reporter, Karita Parks, will join me to talk about the new Wizards players after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Fajas, yiddig, a deuces.
Guys, are you looking for that extra confidence when it's time to have fun? Let me tell you about BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. BlueChew's tablets help men combat all forms of ED. BlueChew is also an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, all done online. BlueChew's tablets, made in the United States, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. And here's a special deal for our listeners. Try BlueChew free when you use our promo code URBAN at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code URBAN, to receive your first month free.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Will Lamb, by myself. You know what I'm saying? Chilling. I'm doing a darn thing. Will and Ray Jeezy are out, and we are part of Ampire Media at AmpireMedia.com. I'm kind of boosted, you know. So this is the fan right now. So right now I have founder of Double Take Sports, co-host of the Triple W podcast and Sports Journey's Washington Wizards reporter, Karita Parks online. What is good, Karita?
Hey, what an introduction.
Hey, yo, you got everything, yo. You got everything. Like, you working it. I see you.
I'm working out here.
I see you. And I'm sorry. And Washington Mystics reporter, too. I'm sorry. Right. Sorry. You know what I'm saying? You doing it all. I see you. You getting the interviews.
Hey, I'm trying to take advantage of my moments.
Hey, you got the moments. All right. You got the moments. You got them. So you don't got to take advantage. You got the moments.
Got the moments,
it's
but.
Plural.
You got don't ever take them for granted.
Oh, man. I feel you. I know that's right. All right. So let's get into it, Karita. We're right into it. We're going to get right into the nitty gritty. All right. Because this conversation can go left or right.
Well, hey, right. What else would I expect from you?
I know, right? I know. You ain't lying. All right. Here you go. All right. The Washington Wizards traded starting wing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and journeyman point guard Ish Smith to the Denver Nuggets for a pair of solid veterans, point guard Monty Morris and Will Barton, guard Will Barton, or guard small forward Will Barton, whatever you want to call it. What's your opinion on the deal?
I think it's solid. Mm-hmm. And that's really Tommy Shepard's, the way he kind of works. He does make solid deals. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, for the most part, Ish Smith was dependable, but I think you get, in this situation, I think you get an upgrade. Definitely. At the position. And with KCP, I would say you get a comparable player.
Yeah.
So I can't be mad at the deal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I like the deal, surprisingly, right? I do like the deal.
I know what?
You don't hate on the
Am
deal?
I on the right show?
Yeah, I know, right? Look, I ain't hating. Look, I actually like the deal. I like Monte Morris. I think he is one of the better backup point guards. He'll be a starter for the Wizards, but he's a guy who could start on multiple teams in the NBA, right? Because he just had to play behind Murray, you know what I'm saying, in Denver.
Right.
So this is an opportunity for him to kind of, you know, show his worth in the NBA as a starting point guard. Is he the type of point guard that will, you know, give you 10 dimes or whatnot? I don't look at him that way, but he's a solid point guard who doesn't turn the ball over, get you into your offense. So things can work, man. It can work with Monte Morris, and he can shoot, you know, he can shoot the three ball, not like, you know, Steph or anything, but he can shoot the three ball. He's a scorer. He has a good mid-range game.
But better than what the Wizards have seen.
Oh, hell yeah.
Only Rui Hachimura has been fairly consistent and decent from the three.
Yeah.
But they struggle.
I don't know if it's going
to
help.
When it comes to three-pointers.
That's wild. I don't know all this is going to help. I mean, even the guys they got, even the young boy they got in the draft. Because his three ball is like a 30% three.
Yeah, college. Most of them are close to 40%, shooting 40% from the three. And I'm not really necessarily saying Johnny Davis, but looking into, Will Barton, Monty Morris, they're close to 40% three-point shooters, but it's better than what they have.
Yeah, they're close to 40. 40 is great. Yeah, I mean, Monty Morris is like, it's wild because you're going to get, so this is the thing, like, it's going to be a different type of three he's going to get.
Yeah.
Because he's not playing with the Joker. So he's not playing with that passing big who's going to get you, find you wide open. You know what I mean? So this is going to be different. Like, I dig with Wes what Wes Unseld Jr. is doing, or what they're allowing him to do in terms of Tommy, bringing in guys that Wes Unseld Jr. is familiar with. Like, he coached
that
in Denver.
Can just start to be.
He knows the system, and they know how to work. They'll know how to rock, and they'll know how to roll. But the only issue with it is that there is no Joker on this squad. So what I mean
that's what I was going to say. Is my same sentiment. Mm-hmm. They know his system, but how will they fit here?
Yes,
because we don't have that.
Yeah, so it's hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I this is good. Like, the signing is good because you got guys who have won. Like, not say they won championships, but they've gone to the postseason. They've had postseason success. They won some games in the postseason.
Yeah.
They compete, right? Will Barton is like from Baltimore, so he's like local. He's local enough. So there is, you have that tie. And he's a scorer. Like, Will Barton's a scorer. He is a scorer. So him being a sixth man off the bench, it does work. Like, he is a guy that it does fit that role. I think the Wizards, so the thing is, it's a need. It definitely is a need. So I'm not going to diminish that it's not a need. Not the sixth man, because Will Barton was just a throw in for what I've read. He was a throw in a trade. Monty Morris is like the dude that they actually needed. And then they got him in a deal. But I've always felt like this team needs an athletic big, like a real athletic big who's a shot blocker and who can just like kind of do things like a pick and dive, like the guy like Robert Williams who plays in Boston, like a guy like that. Like, I feel like they need that type of big to kind of take them over the hump of being a team that to kind of do something. Not like Gafford is solid, but he's undersized, right? He's not really.
He is undersized.
He's athletic but undersized. But they need a real big. Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, undersized. Thomas Bryant, and he probably won't.
Come back.
Here.
He won't be back. And he's not even like he's not like a dive explosive. I mean, he's not that type of dude. Now he's more of a pick and pop type of dude now. Mm-hmm. But they need a guy who can play defense as, you know, a good defender, an athletic big who's an actual big in today's system of being a big. And I feel like that would kind of get them to a point where they can win enough basketball games, right?
I can reason with that. So, and then you have Gafford, who protects the rim well.
Yeah.
So I can definitely reason with that being a missing piece for them.
Yeah, I think there's something.
I don't know where they're gonna get that from. But.
I ain't getting that anytime soon. But I'm just saying that would be something that they would need, or they can get try to get a player like a Joker who can pass. You could be a big man who can pass, but they're not any of those like just falling off the tree. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. I'm chatting with founder of Double Take Sports, co-host of the Triple W Podcast, and Sports Journeys Washington Wizards and Washington Mystics reporter Karita Parks. All right, so Karita, how do these individuals, benefit? How does this trade benefit Bradley Beal?
Well, from a perspective, it does add depth. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they're shooters and they need that. For Beal, also, we have to see how it plays out because all these point guards who play alongside him, so far it just hasn't panned out. But hopefully Monty Morris does pan out. With Johnny Davis being a rookie, that'll give Brad some relief off the bench, of course. But they also have DeLon Wright. We got to remember that too.
DeLon Wright, young boy from who's
Hawks.
He's played for Toronto too, right? Is that what I'm thinking of?
I think so. I think so. But he recently. Recently, he came from the Hawks.
Yeah, I think I know you're talking. I don't really hype him, but yeah, I know everybody. I got that too.
He's really not necessarily good. I mean, he'll be a backup be a backup for Morris, but for Beal, I think that the thing with the Wizards that they have always tried to do is add players that will give him some relief.
Yes.
So that it's not all on him to do the scoring.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Kyle Kuzma was very effective last season. We'll, you know, we'll have to see how that pans out. You still got Porzingis as well.
Yeah.
But these guys are, you know, efficient offensively. And they're supposed to be helpful on the defensive side of the ball. So that's really where I see them relieving him or helping the team overall.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah, it's the same
but
way.
But it's just hard to say. I mean, I say that because all these years, everybody who's been added has supposed to
help this team.
We're
right?
supposed to help Beal, right?
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to say at this point because besides last year with Kuzma and KCP, mostly Kuzma.
He did a lot. Yeah, he did some work. Kuzma did some work. I'll give him credit. He did some
yeah,
work.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't really see, you haven't really seen the help pan out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the biggest thing for Tommy Sheppard was depth. He wanted depth. They came in here wanting better three-point shooters. And guys who can play defense.
Yeah.
And for Bradley Beal, that in every press conference, that was one of his gripes is we don't play good defense. I think he got some, and he wanted bigger guards. So he got some bigger guards. Yeah. Maybe not, you know.
It's wild when I heard that, like he wanted bigger guards. I'm like, there's so much that's so wrong with that. But he got what he wanted.
Yeah, you know, so he got what he wanted.
He got what
right.
he wanted. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was telling last week. I was telling Will this. Like, you can't. He was telling me like, well, this team never built around Bradley Beal. I was like, Bradley's getting what he wanted. You know, what
he
I'm saying?
Has always got what he wanted for the most part.
Yeah, he's getting what he's wanted. But I'm like. Creed, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, my bad. I have to. Somebody's trying to call me on the other line, so like I'm working two shifts now.
Oh, no problem.
Oh man, I'm here to beep. I'm like, oh wait, what's happening? What's happening? This is like we don't have an actual mixer, the correct mixer board. If this would all work out. But yeah, so anyway, now I'm back on it. So we're talking about. So yeah, like. He's gotten what he wanted. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he's gotten what he wanted. And that's the thing. Like, so if Beal got what he wanted, we can't always use it like, all right, the organization's not doing what, you know, doing the right things around Beal. They're asking him all the time, like, dude, what do you want for this team? Like, what do you want? Like, what do you need for you to be a better player? You know what I'm saying? Like, or this team to be better. So I'm like, I'm never like into the whole, I'm not ever into the argument like, well, they didn't give him any help. I'm like, yo, they want to resign him.
I mean, that is what they have been doing ever since they made the determination that Bradley Beal was going to be the face of the franchise. Yeah. They have done nothing but try to build the team around Bradley Beal.
That's my thing. And that's my problem. So I don't like the argument. But now they got bigger guards. So it's cool. They got bigger guards. That's the thing. They got bigger guards. And that's fine.
But
that's
now
fine.
We will see.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I'm very curious as well with Wes Unseld Jr., this being his second year,
yeah.
What are we going to see from him too?
Yeah, agreed. No, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I'm going to read this. Actually, let me read this tweet real quick from my man, Cameron. I like to make sure he gets his shine. So Cameron on Twitter at Camigo, he tweeted about, you know, how do these individuals fit with Bradley Beal? He said, it'll impact a lot. You got Bill what he wanted, bigger guards, like Carita said, drafting Johnny Davis, getting DeLon Wright, and trading for Monte Morris and Will Barton. You know, you got dogs at the guard position, which Brad been preaching about since the second half of the season. Barton's a dog. Like, I ain't gonna lie, Will Barton is a dog.
I knew that is what you were going to be hung up
like,
on.
Bill Darton's a dog. Like, no, I mean, Bill, no, Will Dar- Will Barton's a dog. I mean, he's a scorer. He, like, he'll go at you. So he is a dog. I'm not going, like, Will Barton's a guard. He's a dog. I'm not going to do that. Monty is a good player. Like, he's a really good player. Like, he's a good player.
Yeah, I haven't seen him be, like you said earlier, he's known to just be able to efficiently run the offense.
He's efficient.
And efficiently score. He's efficient,
yeah,
right?
He's efficient.
Reliable.
Yeah, he's good. But you know what? a lot of people like, see, my thing, Spencer Dinwiddie got dog in him, but it didn't work out here. So it's like,
it didn't work out.
It didn't work out for him. He got dog in him, it didn't work out for him. So it's wild. Like, I get what he's coming from. Like, mm-hmm. I do think it's a good trade. Like, I don't want to act like I'm negative. I do think it's a good trade. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a good trade. It's just that I'm not, like, I think, is it going to move the needle in terms of the Wizards being a competitive, like a playoff team? I'm just not sure. Like, I felt like, I like Wes Unseld as a coach. I think he can make this team a playoff team. I'm not sure mm-hmm. how far or how much better they could be in the East, where the East is kind of like stacked now. It's getting stacked. So it's like, I don't know where the Wizards, where they're going to land at, you know what I'm saying, with that. But I do think, I mean, in terms of fitting Bradley Beal's game, I don't know if it fits his game. I'm going to be real with you. I don't know if it fits his game, but I think he needs a real point guard who can really set him up, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they got to change the offense for his game to kind of help them win multiple games, you know what I'm saying? You can't do this ISO stuff all the time, you know what I'm saying? Like, it can't just be Bradley Beal trying to score 30. They're going to have to kind of
right.
get people. But I will say this, but Will Barton ain't going to let – Will Barton, Will, if he's on the same court with Bradley Beal, he going jack. Like, he's going to be like, nah, mm-hmm. bruh, it's my time too. So, he going jack.
And that's what they need. They do need that. I mean, they need more than one dog. But
mm-hmm. yeah.
but they need at least one.
Yeah.
You know, to push everyone else to step up.
Facts.
Because that's the thing is right now, just when I think about the guys that we still have from last season, they are efficient, but they are not those I'm gonna go at you type players.
No, I totally agree.
Like, they're gonna do their job.
Yeah. And we'll see how it plans out. We really will. Hey, Karina, thanks for being on. Before I let you go, please let our mm-hmm. listeners know how they can catch you on social media, and please tell them about all of your podcasts, the ones I mentioned, like all of them, you know, like
yes.
all of them.
You can catch me on social media at Karina C. Parks. You can also catch my content at Double Take Sports. That's at DBL Take Sports. You can also catch our Wizards Pod. It's the Triple Dub Podcast. Well, Triple W, but we say Triple Dub.
You know what? I was being real proper. You know what? You're right. Dub. I got you. There you go. I didn't want to be all PG with my stuff. Dub. All right, you got it.
But the handle is at Triple W Pod. So make sure you follow that on all social media. And then, yes, still do stuff for Sports Journey at Sports Journey.
See, look, there you go. Hey, Korea, thanks for being on. You know I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. I'll have you on again. Don't worry about it. We'll talk about the other crap.
all right.
Yeah. There's so much.
I know what that one is.
Yeah, you already know. You already know. All right. Bye, Karina.
Bye.
Again, you can tweet Karina at Karina C. Parks on Twitter at Karina C. Parks. All right. A lot of big moves have gone down during the NBA offseason. Host of The Real Deal with Damian Adams and co-host of the Third and Three podcast, Damian Adams will join us after the break and listen to the Urban Sports Safe for Ages. You dig? Deuces.
Guys, are you looking for that extra confidence when it's time to have fun? Let me tell you about BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. BlueChew's tablets help men combat all forms of ED. Blue Chew is also an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, all done online. Blue Chew's tablets, made in the United States, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. And here's a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code URBAN at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code URBAN, to receive your first month free.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy and Will TRL, and we are part of Amp Pyre Media at amppyremedia.com. All right, man. We got somebody new. I'm doing new stuff, bro. Right now, we have host of The Real Deal with Damian Adams and co-host of the 3rd and 3 podcast, Damian Adams, on the line. What's good, my man? And welcome to the Urban Sports Scene.
What's happening, man? Glad to be a guest on, man. Just here to have a good sports conversation with some good sports minds.
Oh, man. I appreciate having you on, man. I've seen you on Twitter, you know, talking, you know, basketball. And, you know, we're all on that same basketball forum. So I wanted to always get you on. So I'm glad to actually get this opportunity to have you on.
I appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying? So, hey, before we get started, you know, and you're talking about the NBA offseason, could you tell our listeners about your podcast, plural, because you have two podcasts.
Yes, so thank you. The Real Deal with Damian Adams, that's my personal show that I do solo and with guests from time to time. On that show, I talk the NFL, NBA, and boxing. So it's just me giving my thoughts in my own unique way on those three sports. So when you turn into that show, it's available on all podcast platforms, you're going to get a very unique perspective on those three sports. I'm going to have a lot of fun with it. So you're going to get some funny, you're going to get some knowledgeable stuff, but also we're not scared to talk about serious topics. So it's nothing that we're going to be scared to talk about on that show. But we're also going to keep it light at the same time. With the third and three podcast, it's a football based podcast. So it's mostly NFL talk, but we can branch out and talk about everything. Mm-hmm. I do that along with Jason Fearman and Nikki Jess, two very knowledgeable sports minds who also have a natural talent for podcasting. So we play off each other very well. So please subscribe to The Real Deal with Damian Adams and the 3rd and 3 podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dope. And also, Wes, it's wild, because I know I see you talk about boxing. We're big in boxing over here too. Who's your best pound for, who's your pound for pound best boxer in the game?
Well, right now I got to go with Errol Spence Jr.
Man, you my dude already. You my dude. I want to say Earl, because that's my guy. That's probably my favorite current boxer. I will say that. That's like my favorite one. But if I'm trying to be objective, because a lot of people call me I'm too biased when it comes to Earl. So for those who think I'm biased, I do like Usyk a lot. I think he's coming, but he ain't there yet. He will be there, though. I think Shakur Stevenson will be there. He will be there. I think he will be there.
I definitely agree.
He will be there very soon. Like, very soon. He gets a little – he puts on some weight. You know, he's going to get older because the knowledge of the boxing game is already there. Like, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. But
I totally agree. I totally agree with you on that one. I think Shakur is special. I think by the end of his career, he's going to be mentioned with, like, Floyd Mayweather, Nell Whitaker's.
You with me?
He's gonna be there, bro.
Yeah, you with me? You with me? But yeah, Earl. I told folks, it's wild. Like the Earl thing. Like when he fought Danny, I was like disappointed. Yeah. Right? I ain't gonna lie. When he fought Danny, I was disappointed. I was like, damn, man, shoot. Because I have a bunch of friends who are Bud dudes, right? So I'm like, damn, man, yeah, Bud gonna finish this dude if he's gonna fight like this. Like, because it's after the car accident. So I was like, if this is what he's gonna be after the car accident, I was like, yeah, I can't be biased. I think, you know, Bud would get him. Like, he would get him. We'd get him. But after what I saw, when he did the Ugas, I was like, yeah, he back. He back. Like, he back, back. Like, he back, back. And I was like, yes, I told y'all.
He was special in that fight, for sure.
I said, that dude is a problem. I was impressed with what Bud did to Porter. But I'm like, that dude, I don't know if Bud can hold up if he's taking with those punches coming at him. Like, it's different. It's different. That's different power. You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure. Now, Errol Spence is special, man. He power in both hands.
Yes.
Especially being a southpaw, going to the body.
Yes.
Like, I love his game. And hopefully they can get this fight set up, man. They taking forever with the negotiations. It shouldn't be this hard, man.
Shouldn't be. It should be happening.
Get this fight done, man. We can watch this fight, man.
Man, I'm about to get you for boxing next time, man. Like, next time. Now you got me hype, man. All right. So, hey, let's get back to the topic at hand. All right. So, there were a lot of notable moves in the NBA offseason. Which moves stand out to you and why?
So the one that stands out the most, for sure, is the Timberwolves getting Rudy Gobert. Yeah. But it doesn't stand out in a good way for me. I feel like this was a desperate move by a team that wasn't in a desperate situation. The Timberwolves are a team that was moving in the right direction. They won the play-in game, had a really good playoff series against Memphis. They definitely had a really good chance to win that series, and they showed their youth and lack of experience in that series, giving away all those comebacks, even one game where it was two separate 25-point leads they gave up. Mm-hmm. So you definitely saw a lack of experience there, but that comes with the territory. Like, yes, you have a young team, they're going to go through those ups and downs. And I felt like the front office panicked and was like, oh, we got to get better now. We got to strike while the oil's hot. And they gave up the farm for Rudy Gobert. And Rudy is a very good player,
yes,
right? He's somebody who's definitely going to help them in a regular season. Great rim protector. But come playoff time, come playoff time, when they're playing against a Golden State, or they're playing against a Dallas, or even a Clippers, those teams have the versatility to go small.
Yeah.
And we've seen every year with Utah, whenever they go against a team that can go small, they have trouble because Rudy can't play out there.
Yeah.
And the thing is, most big men have trouble against small lineups, but the difference is between those big men and Rudy is that those big men can take advantage.
Yes.
Like when teams go small, true, against Phoenix, for example, DeAndre Ayton can go in the post and take advantage.
Yeah,
DeAndre Ayton's not the greatest offensive player, but if you're going to put somebody at 6'5 on him, he's going to go to work.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert can't do that.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert can literally only score if he's getting a little drop-off pass for a dunk or an alley-oop. He's not scoring any other way. So when it comes playoff time and you have Karl-Anthony Towns out there who's not a good defender at all, and you have Rudy who can't space out the floor and guard out to the three-point line, what are you going to do then, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't like this move at all. I think they panicked when they didn't need to. They could have let this develop slowly over time. Anthony Edwards, I think, is going to prove that he's their best player.
Yeah,
and then you go from there with Ant and Cat being your 1-2, and you build around that. But now you're locked into this quote-unquote big three with Ant, Cat, and Rudy Gobert. And I really don't see how having Cat and Rudy Gobert on defense works. Offensively, it's going to work great because when you have Cat at the four spread out, you have McDaniel spread out,
and
Edwards and Gobert, they're going to have a nice pick and roll combination, and the floor is going to be spread for them. But defensively, come playoff time, that's when it's going to matter. Regular season, there are going to be articles 20 games in talking about how people are wrong about this trade because they're going to look great. But playoff time, I think this is when we're going to see, like, this was a panic move they didn't need to do. And then we look at that contract. My man's going to be making $38 million this year, 41, 43, and then damn near 47. Like, that, man, like, that's a lot of money for a dude who can't score.
No, I get you.
A lot of money.
No, I get you. I just hate on Patrick Beverly, so it's a whole different thing. So I'm going to lie to you. I just feel like he got what he deserved. So the Rudy thing is wild. I'm not the biggest Rudy Gobert fan, so I do agree. Like, I got certain parts I agree with. Like, the playoff thing, I totally agree with you. But I feel like there's a lot of teams that are like that in the postseason when it comes to certain bigs. So I agree with you about Rudy. I think the issue, I think it's more of an issue with today's NBA. When you have a big like that, you don't try to take advantage of it. Like, there's some things you could do to get him easy buckets. They just don't try. Not to say that, but also, to your points, Rudy has to get better in terms of being a skilled big. You know what I'm saying? Like, drop step a little bit more. Like, work on your footwork. You know what I mean? He still seems so clunky in the post, even if you're looking at traditional basketball, right? As a big, he's clunky in the post. His drop steps are slow. Everything doesn't look – it don't look fluent, to be honest with you. But I do think that, you know, against certain teams, depending on the matchup, he can get some playoff success. But when you're like, you're right, then when he's playing against Golden State, who's going to try to isolate him, right? Let's be real. They're going to isolate him. They're going to try to run a pick, get a mismatch, get Steph on Rudy Gobert, and then go ISO with that, right? And then that's a problem because he won't be able to move his feet with Steph. Or, you know what I'm saying, you go Dallas, they're going to do the same thing, right? Switch, get Gobert on Luka, a problem. So, you know, a lot of people, even Chris Paul will do the same thing. So that will be a problem for Rudy. He's going to have to kind of get with it. I do think it helps Cat a lot. That's the thing why I like it. Because Cat's just going to shoot threes. Cat's just going to shoot threes now. He's just gonna shoot threes.
Cat's gonna be comfortable on offense.
Yeah, he's gonna be comfortable.
He wants to do as far as being on four, but also defensively, there's gonna be certain teams where the power forward is somebody who we traditionally think of as a small forward.
Yes.
So for example,
agreed.
When they play against Boston, for example, they might have Jason Tatum at the four.
That's a problem.
You don't want Cat.
Yes.
You don't want Cat out there on Jason Tatum.
You're right. Like a Kevin Durant.
That's going to be an issue.
Even a KD. Yeah, you're right. No, there are going to be some issues. Don't get it twisted. Match. They're not the perfectly assembled team. They're good against certain teams. They will be good against certain teams. But I'm with you. Like when they play against a versatile offense that has multiple, like, you know, positionless positions, I guess. They're gonna struggle. Like they are. They're gonna struggle. And to your point, they're gonna struggle because Rudy isn't an offensive force, and he doesn't even have the mentality as a dog of an offensive. Like, if it'd be different if he had like offensive aggression. He doesn't even have that, right? Like, he's proud of his defense, but you know, he's long around the basket. Certain things he can do to take advantage of his height. It's just that he doesn't, or the coaching staff doesn't. You know, I guess I'm from the DMV. I'm gonna talk about this one. Because he used to play for the Wizards. I like the Clippers and John Wall. Like, I like that. I like that mesh. It fits to me. It's a perfect fit to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I definitely – on my bad.
No. Go ahead. Go. Dude, I'm showcasing you, I'm showcasing you.
No, I agree with you. Like, I definitely like that pickup for the Clippers. It's low risk, high reward. They're not spending that much money. And John Wall as a third option at this point in his career, I think, is the perfect situation for him. So he's coming in. You have, you know, Kawhi's getting tied up a little bit. Paul George had one of those off nights. You know, Paul George is due for a night every once in a while when he's not hitting shots. Mm-hmm. That's when John Wall steps in. And he can run your offense. And now you have Reggie Jackson come off the bench.
So I was going to ask you that. So Reggie's off the bench now, right? That's official. Reggie's off the bench.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah, I think Reggie's going to be coming off the bench. But Reggie Jackson could be one of the best six men in the league.
Yes.
So when now you have him coming off the bench, you increase your depth. You already have a bunch of wings. The Clippers always have a bunch of wings. So you have those wings. Now you have point guard depth. Along with bringing back Kawhi Leonard, you know, who's going to be a top 5 to 7 guy in the league, depending on, you know, your personal rankings. Mm-hmm. So I really love this move for the Clippers, and I think it puts them right there in the upper echelon of the Western Conference.
I do too. I think this makes them really tough, man. I just think that John Wall, I mean, even with a little bit of John, what I saw in John Wall with the Rockets, I was impressed his athleticism is still not the same, but still roughly there. In terms of his jump shot, I liked the jumper more with the Rockets than I did with the Wizards. I thought he did some things to kind of, you know, become a better shooter. Like, you could tell he put work in it. Like, you could tell he put work while he was off to become to work on the shooting. So I liked some of the things he did, you know, in terms of his little break from playing basketball before he got to the Rockets. And then, you know, and then when he showcased it, I was like, okay, I see improvement. So I think that that's a great fit. There's another team that I thought had the excellent fit. Like, this is the best fit of them all. Brogdon going to the Boston Celtics. I thought that was the perfect acquisition.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Love the move. The one thing that they were missing was a true point guard, somebody who would make good decisions in clutch time. And when you look at just his stats, you know, he has a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio that just proves his good decision making over the course of time. He's someone who can get you 20 points a game. Again, like I mentioned with John Wall being that third option, it's the same thing with Brogdon.
Yes.
Brogdon's the third option behind Tatum and Brown. And like we said with Paul George, sometimes Tatum or Brown can have those off nights. Brogdon can get you home on those nights. And he's somebody who he's a good defender.
Yes.
Right? So now when you have Brogdon and Smart together in that backcourt, you have one of the best defensive backcourts in the league to go along with what he does offensively. And he's very efficient. I think that's one part that's very underrated about him. He's a former 50-40-90 guy.
Yes.
And like, so when you have somebody who's that efficient at the point guard position, who's going to make good decisions, it takes so much pressure off of Brown and Tatum when it comes to playmaking. And now you don't have to worry about Brown dribbling into different crowds. And they play against teams who are going to make them do that and creating turnovers. Marcus Smart having those plays where he gets stuck in the air, throws it, turns it over. You have somebody who's going to take their time, slow it down. He's going to notice when, hey, all right, we cool. Slow it down.
We good.
Let's get a good shot right here. Let's do this. I love this acquisition. The only thing that I'm scared of is his health.
Yeah, right? I know.
He's somebody who hasn't been able to play a lot of games over the years. So if he can stay healthy and is there during playoff time, this move puts them right back at the top of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Like, I believe the Bucks are better with the healthy Chris Middleton, but this move definitely makes it interesting for sure.
All right, so my question to that is, I agree with you, but my issue is, like, and I like Marcus Smart, but can you really – this is the thing, I like Marcus Smart, so it hurts my feelings to say this. But, like, you already have – it's the same thing with Gordon Hayward. Like, they are forcing so many, like, the same positions on the court. I guess you move Marcus Smart to a two? Like, he would play the
that's
two
That's what
role.
I would do. Yeah,
I feel
that's
like
what
you
I would
need
do.
A
I'll
real two, though. Like, I feel like you need a real like, I guess that's my thing. It's like, I know Jaylen Brown is a swing player, so he's quasi. Like, he's a three. He's a three on this team, right? He's a three. And, yeah. Well, is he? Like, who's the four? their natural starting lineup, is Tatum playing the four?
That's what I would have. I would have Brogdon, Smart,
okay,
Brown, Tatum, and then either Horford or
Williams. Horford. So they Horford Williams. That's right. Horford and Williams. See, this is my thing. I don't think you should start. You don't need to start. I don't think you need to start Smart. This is my thing. I don't think you need to start Smart. It's not a knock on it. I don't think you need to, because Horford is valuable for you in terms of what you're doing. In terms of his role on the team, he's very valuable. I think Williams brings that. Like when I talked about, like Williams, in terms of the athletic build, that athletic big who can D up, and he can kind of move his feet, and he's a great rim protector, and he's a pick and dive. He's an athletic freak in pick and dive. He's an athletic freak.
Yes.
And you got Brogdon. I know it's egos. I know Marcus Smart has to play. I know. I'm just saying. Like, I felt like they're better off with Brogdon, Brown at the two, Tatum at the three, Horford at the four, and Robert Williams at the five. And you can spell Brogdon with Smart, because I just feel like, to your point, a lot of these dudes do dumb, like a lot of these individuals, they're all like their best players, including Smart. He's one of their best players. No knock on him, but they're loose with the basketball. Like, they're too foolish and loose with the basketball. Brogdon, who isn't coming out of Virginia, he was a two, right? And coming out of Virginia, but he isn't like a real, like a Jason Kidd, Chris Paul type of point guard. But to your point, he's safe with the basketball. Like, he's not going to be stupid. He is an intelligent basketball player, like a very intelligent basketball player who plays defense, who can knock down the open three. He has a nice J. Like, he got a good mid-range J. Three ball, if he's wide open, is pretty much automatic. So there's things he brings to the table, and he plays defense that I felt like as a starter, and then you get like, and you got better perimeter shooters now in your on that lineup. Because you take away Horford, you're losing one good shooter. I know that much. Because Horford is better shooter than Smart. I'm sorry. He just is.
He's more consistent.
So
yeah, it's Smart is streaky. Like, Smart had the games where he doesn't miss anything.
Yeah.
Then the next game, he can't hit the ocean.
Yeah, so.
Like, you'll have that with him.
But I'm with you, though. I think they will. I mean, I think they will start. They will start Smart at it, too. I think they'll. I mean, because he is a leader. I'm not. I don't. Me saying this is, I'm not being negative on Smart, because I like Smart. It's just that when you get a Brogdon, it's like, it's almost the same thing when they brought in Gordon Hayward. And it was like, oh, we got to play everybody because we got Gordon. We pay all this money to play Gordon. We have to play him. We have to start him. But really, you didn't need Gordon. You know what I'm saying? Because then you had Smart his position. Because then you played a lineup that didn't fit. Like, my thing is like, will it really fit? I mean, you'll be good defensively. I'm not knocking it. You will be good defensively. But then you're going, now you're benching somebody who is valuable to your team. Like, you're gonna bench Robert Williams probably if you go that route. That's important. Or you're gonna bench Horford, who is valuable because he spaces the court, because he's a four who can shoot threes, and he's a great position a good position defender for their team.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
No, I definitely hear you on those concerns for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good problem to have.
It is,
right? Mm-hmm. It's like they have the depth now, and maybe you do start Williams and Horford. It's just, it'll be real tough to bench the defense player of the year.
I know, as I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's too hard. Like, I get it. Like, I get it. Like, I get why they wouldn't. But it's just like, when does it come from doing the best? I know we're going a little bit over, but I can talk basketball for days. And when it comes to, like doing what's best for the team, or what's best for the person and the ego. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is the dichotomy that they're going to have an issue with that pickup. Because everybody knew – and even Smart had something smart to say, you know, on Twitter before the acquisition, about y'all saying y'all need a real point guard. But when they have real point guards, they ain't get to the NBA Finals. Facts. Nobody lying to me, bro. Yeah. That's facts. But at the same time, like, they do need somebody who's steady with that basketball. I mean, everybody saw it, you know, in that series against the Golden State Warriors. So, but like, if you have a Brogdon, then to me, you got Jaylen Brown already. That's your two, and he plays defense. Tatum plays defense. You got three dudes who play defense. Al Horford plays defense. Robert Williams plays defense. They're not at the level of, I mean, are they at the level of Marcus Smart? No, but they're all really good defenders, and they can, and they're better offensively speaking. What's other than like Robert Williams, but he's the five. That's different. You need him there.
You know, it's just easy buckets for him.
Yeah, exactly. It's different. But the other individuals, like, they're all pretty much better offensively speaking, or more consistent than Marcus Smart as an offensive player. But he's defensive player of the year. So you feel like you got to reward that. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. Yeah. It's hard, man. It really is.
No, for sure. No, I definitely, like I said, I hear your concerns. Mm. And I can see maybe they do start Williams and Horford together, but then they'll go to like a small lineup at certain situations. Yeah. They'll be their version of the def lineup will be definitely the one that I mentioned earlier.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, I can see that. I can see them.
So I definitely can see them.
Yeah, I can definitely see them happening. So before I let you go real quick, I mean, it's been reported that KD and Kyrie Irving are done with the Brooklyn Nets. Your thoughts about KD and Kyrie, the KD and Kyrie saga, and where do you think they're going to end up?
Man, I think that this last few years of the Nets is the biggest failure in NBA history.
I agree.
Like, when you really sit down and think about it, think about the team they had before they acquired James Harden. Man. Like, when Kevin Durant first came back from the Achilles injury, you had Kyrie, you had Jared Allen, who's an all-star now.
Yeah.
You had Joe Harris. Like, they had a roster that was a championship roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they got greedy and went after James Harden, had to just gut the roster, get rid of an all-star, future all-star in Jared Allen, keep DeAndre Jordan because that's what Kevin Durant and Kyrie wanted,
mm-hmm.
overpaying, you know, a dude that's washed up now.
Mm-hmm.
You keep him. And then eventually it turns into Kyrie's drama. James Harden wants to go. You trade James Harden for a seat on the bench. That's Ben Simmons. And you get Steph Curry and Andre Drummond. You lose in the first round, getting swept. The only team to get swept in the playoffs.
Mm.
And when you think about this, it really shows you that management should manage and players should play.
Yes.
Now, can the players have an input in what goes on? Yeah, of course. If you have a player like a LeBron or a Kevin Durant or a Steph Curry, yeah, you could ask their opinion on things. But at the end of the day, the GM gets paid the GM.
Mm-hmm.
Let the GM do his job. And this situation just reeks of the players having too much power over the organization.
Because there's no way
that the GM, who is supposed to be watching all this basketball, is like, yeah, we're going to bring in DeAndre Jordan for $10 million a year. No way. That's because Kevin Durant and Kyrie were like, hey, you got to bring our boy in for us to sign. And which, okay, cool, we'll bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to get some minutes, you know, off the bench. He's going to play, you know, 5 to 10 a game, be a leader, you know, a locker room guy. But he's not going to be somebody who we try to depend on, especially when we have this young guy, Jared Allen, who everybody saw was good.
Yeah, they did.
Everybody saw Jared Allen was a good player. So we're like, okay, we'll keep this dude. But to gut your team like that and then only have James Harden, Kyrie, and KD play together for 16 games is absolutely crazy, man. So the Nets is an organization definitely had themselves to blame for giving the players too much power.
Mm-hmm.
And then KD has himself to blame for not being his own man, right? Because people like myself are very critical of him for joining Golden State. I thought it was a punk move for him to go from OKC to Golden State and get those easy rings. I thought they were easy rings. He definitely put in work, don't get me wrong. But joining the 73-9 team, it come off as an easy ring for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he heard that noise.
Yeah.
And you could tell he heard that noise because he left there to go to Brooklyn to have his own team, or at least have a team that is co-owned by him and Kyrie.
Yeah.
And then it gets tough, and now you want to trade. So it looks like when the going gets tough, KD gets going. And that's just not a good look for an all-time great.
I'll say this much because Katie's local, so I kind of like when I get I talk about him at certain rock. I know his thought process and why he left to go to. And I didn't like the move, so I'm prefacing by saying that I did not like the move at all. But he's a dude that just wants to hoop, and he just wants to hoop. Like he wants to hoop, and he wants to hoop and have fun. And the individuals that he was hooping with and the sit where he was hooping at just wasn't fun. But I do agree with you though. Like you didn't have to go to that squad.
Yeah.
But I know his mindset. It is what it is in terms of the pattern though, bro. Like, yeah, he wants to leave Brooklyn. Like it is what it is. There is a pattern. He doesn't want, and to your point is like I always feel like I use the term like you chose violence, you know, you chose this. Like you chose this situation. Like that's on you. Like you chose to play with Kyrie. Like this, you chose this. Like you would Brooklyn did what you wanted. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that team had a plethora, and I know you remember this, like, had a plethora of good young dudes before you got there. They played hard and competed. LeVert, Dinwiddie. Like, they had Jared Allen. You met Jared Allen. They had dudes where they made the postseason off of just grit all by themselves. So without a Kevin Durant, without a Kyrie Irving. So like, yo, you chose this. Like, you chose this. Understand this. Like, you chose this situation. You chose violence. So you gotta deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Now, you chose the coach. Also, you chose the coach. Yep. Everybody complains about Steve Nash, but y'all wanted Steve Nash because y'all felt like it was, buddy-buddy system. So, yeah, I mean, I'm interested to know where he's going to do. I was interested when he went to Kyrie, like, opted in, and he was like, he's going to ask for a trade. I didn't get it. Like, I didn't understand because, again, like, the Brooklyn situation was you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But to your point, though, I know what you're saying, though. I get the criticism. I mean, everybody, if you're a baller, everybody, you know, it's warranted. You know, so I can't, go against it. Like, it is what it is. It's like, at least I always use the description when people talk about LeBron. That's like, at least, like, LeBron, Miami wasn't good. LeBron got there. He added Chris Bosh. You know what I'm saying? Like, Chris Bosh and, I mean, Dwayne Wade was already there. But it wasn't as if, like, he went to a champion already. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, Miami wasn't a thing yet. You got the better players, but they weren't a thing yet. You just added one player in Golden State.
Exactly. And I always tell people that when they try to compare the two situations.
Yeah.
LeBron couldn't get past Boston. He didn't join Boston.
Yes. Fact.
Like, that's the big difference. Yeah. Like, if KD would have joined that, because I was rooting for, I remember me and my wife, we went to Vegas. Uh-huh. And I was just waiting for the news to drop. We were driving back. And I was like, I want him to join the Clippers. Because I would love to see him with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin at that time.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to see that at that time. Sorry, I had to call Cam in. But I would have loved to see him join Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and go at Golden State.
Yeah.
Right? And if that would have – imagine how lit the league would have been with the Clippers being good, Golden State, you had Cleveland. But instead, he joined Golden State. And that first year, I think people forget how whack the playoffs was that first year he was there. There was no need for the first three. Go ahead.
You said what, Golden State? You went when Durant went to Golden State?
Yeah, that first year.
Was terrible, man.
It was horrible. Like, they ran. I shouldn't even say ran through. That's too much effort. They took a leisurely walk through the playoffs, got to the finals. And the only reason they lost one game in the finals is because Cleveland went crazy and broke the record for three-pointers made in the finals. Like, it made it so, like, as a basketball head, I didn't enjoy it.
No, not at all.
It was like, come on, man. He heard that. No. Like I said, he heard that noise from people like ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then after that, he heard that noise, he was like, all right, I got to go do it myself. Mm-hmm. But once it got tough, now he wants out.
Yeah, I would love him. I think there are places that he could go, he should go, that can help, that can change the narrative for him. I mean, you know, for himself. Because he's super talented. He can win. And a bunch of places, I feel like, to be honest with you, a bunch of places he could win. Just got to be cultivate the right situation in terms of, like, coaching and, you know, players who fit his skill set, which is an easy skill set to fit. I'm going to be real with you. It's an easy skill set to fit. So there are places he can go. I know it's rumored, like, the Suns are out there because of his relationship with Monty Williams. That's a decent one. But again, I mean, well, that's a good one because they can't get over the hump. So I guess that would kind of change the narrative. I mean, I know somebody was like, go back. My brother was like, go back to OKC. I was like, it ain't happening, bro. But
OKC about 5 years away.
I actually thought it'd be dope, though. I actually thought if the Lakers could pull the trade off and get Kyrie, I think the story would be dope if he could get Russell ring and then the narrative changed. Like, y'all couldn't do it, but I did it. I think the narrative would be kind of dope. Like, you got a reunion. It didn't end out the right. It didn't end the right way. But I got Russ. With us two, we've been successful. Like, we've gotten to the NBA Finals. We've gotten to the Western Conference Finals together. Russ has had his main success has been with me. Has been with me. Nobody else. If I can get him to the final, if I can get a championship with Russ, I think people would forget, like, the whole narrative. But he wants to leave Brooklyn.
So
he wants to leave Brooklyn. So it defeats the purpose.
That's true. Like, I wonder if there's any, because you look at Brooklyn's roster right now with Kyrie, KD, Ben Simmons, and the additions they've made, that could be a really good team. So I wonder if there's any way
they're trying to keep
it together on the back end. Like, hey, let's try it for one more year.
I think it's a player option. Perfect team compared to for all their skill sets. because depending on, like, it's perfect because then you, one, you have Ben, who's a great decision maker. Like, he's a point guard for real. He's a 6'10 point guard.
Yeah.
So, like, he can dictate who gets the ball and who, you know, who gets shots at that particular point in time. It just depends on, like, it really would have to, I mean, let's be real. Like, it all has to, it's all predicated on how, you know, the level of Steve Nash is a coach, to be real with you. Like, it should have worked. It should have worked enough a couple years ago, like this year and last year. I mean, Kevin Durant damn near beat the Bucks by himself in that playoff series.
Yeah.
So it should definitely work enough with just who you have now. But yeah, if you got Ben Simmons, it makes it easier. I think Ben Simmons is one of the more unappreciated players, what he brings to the table. I mean, he's just not good for what Philadelphia wanted to do. But if you look at if you look at what he brings as a basketball player, and how if you have dynamic scorers, yo, he's uber valuable, man. Like, easily can help that team win. But I just think that, you know, when, well, Kevin Durant is a funny dude. If he want to go, he want to go. And Kyrie, we all know Kyrie funny as hell too. So he want to go, he want to go. So them, they weird, they weird dudes. They just two weird dudes. But I do. I'm with you. I think Ben could definitely make it work. I don't know what they can do. I feel like when a player wants to leave and they say it, there ain't really nothing you can really do about it. You can try to smooth it over, but you know what I mean? Like, once they put it out there, it's pretty much, there ain't nothing you can do about it. And I've, you know, there's reports that Steve Nash and Kyrie aren't getting along. It's just wild stuff.
Yeah. And with your point too, like, once a player says out, they're out, I wonder if that's something that NBA teams need to push back on. Like, yo, you on the contract,
they need
getting
to.
Paid crazy amount of money. Yo, come to work.
Yeah. They need to
come to work and put this work in.
They need to. They do. They need to. They need to be something, a collective bargaining agreement where it's not like players have a way to kind of do things. I feel like in the NBA, you should do it. Like in football, I think a little contracts aren't guaranteed, so I dig that. But for basketball, your contracts, you get all your money. They got to damn near buy you out. You got all your money. Like, nah, I get player empowerment. It's great. But when you're under contract in the NBA, it's different from football. Like, this is guaranteed money. Like, you get guaranteed money. This is like, at least one, you play your butt off. Like, the crap that James Hart was pulling off in Houston was ridiculous. Like, you can't have that type of stuff. I'm with you. Like, there's got to be a way where play this contract out instead of like, I'm demanding a trade and you're letting it fly. And then players act a certain way, like Jimmy Butler wanted out of Minnesota. He was acting a certain way. Like, dude, you got to find a way to, like, nip that to a point where, to your point, like, even if you went out, like, all right, play yourself out. Like, give me, like, dude, you may be able to win a championship. Do what Kawhi did. Like, folks know Kawhi didn't want to stay in no Toronto for real. But Kawhi played that thing out and won a championship and then thought about it because, you know, the experience was so cool. But he still wanted to go home. And at the end of the day, you knew he wanted to go home. So, but he played it. But he was a stand-up dude, though. Like, he played it.
Exactly. Like, you can be a stand-up guy and still get to the right situation. I understand that, you know, money doesn't make everything, but I feel like there shouldn't be so many unhappy people getting paid this much to play basketball.
Yes, agreed.
I feel like that's a problem. Like, what's really going on where these people are this unhappy? I get there's bad organizations. Like, if you're somebody who's stuck with a bad team for 7 years, I get that. Like, I'm a Pelicans fan. When Anthony Davis asked for a trade from us, I got it at the time. We weren't a good organization.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I get it. And he gave us 7 years of high quality basketball, even though, you know, he had his injuries and whatnot. He gave us 7 years. So I was like, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
But when you're James Harden and you ask for a trade from Houston, but he gave Houston a good while and gave him high quality basketball. But then to come in out of shape, to dog it on the court, and then to do it a second year in a row. Like, he didn't even wait a full 12 months. To do it a second year in a row in Brooklyn.
Oh my gosh!
And had that's unacceptable.
And I like James Harden too.
Something going on.
It was terrible. Yeah. I liked James Harden. I thought that was trash. I thought it was trash. I thought that whole thing was ridiculous. I wouldn't have rewarded that dude. Like y'all did him a favor. Like, don't do that. Don't ever give the player when they're not professional. You don't do that. Like, don't do them that type of service. Like, I don't care if you're getting picks or whatever. Like, it ain't worth it. Like, don't do that. Like, they need to pay. Like, you know what I'm saying? They need to pay. Because the difference from what AD wanted to play in New Orleans. Like, he wanted to play. Even though he wanted out, he was still trying to play. Like, that's different. Like, they just said, we're going to sit you. We're not going to even try to whatever. But he wanted to play. It wasn't like he didn't want to play. Like, AD wanted to play. Like, he just didn't want to be there no more. But Harden was just trying. Basically, he was a baby. He acted like a little baby. Like, all right, I don't want to. You ain't going to let me go? Okay, I'm going to act this way. All right. And what you're doing is you're rewarding people like that. And when you start rewarding it, you're starting to set a trend. And that's not a – it's just terrible. So do you have – real quick before I let you go, do you have a particular place that you think – do you think Kyrie's going to L.A.? Do you think Kevin Durant's going to, like, Phoenix? Do you have – or do you think they're going to stay put?
Man, I think it's going to take a while.
Okay.
I do think it's going to take a while. I think the Rudy Gobert trade is going to throw things off.
Gotcha.
Because Minnesota gave up so much Rudy Gobert. If you're the Nets, now you're like, hey, man, I need a jet. I need
this
your firstborn.
This is so true.
like I'm going to need everything from you to give up Kevin Durant. So I think it's going to take a while for the trade to happen. Now, with Kyrie, I think he does end up in L.A. because that's the only place he wants to go. It's been widely reported that's where he wants to go. So no other team is going to want to rent him for a year and deal with Kyrie being in a place that he doesn't want to be. Because next thing you know, he's going to have all the excuses in the world not to play. He's going to need personal days. All this stuff is going to happen. So I think that the Lakers do get him. I don't know if the Nets want Russell Westbrook. I don't know how they make the deal happen if it's not him, because then there'll have to be a collection of players to match the salary.
Oh, it has to be Russ. It has to be Russ.
Yeah.
They can't do anything, but the Lakers don't have any collateral. The only thing they have is Russ's contract, because it's done after this year. So it's going to be an empty contract after this year.
Yeah,
it's done.
Exactly.
That's the only – we're going to throw – like, I know they're going to throw Horford Tucker, but he sucks. So Horton Tucker, but he sucks for real. So it's like they're just throwing in players to throw players in. But you're right, though. I just feel like – like they don't, the only player it's going to be is Russ. It's a shame, but I'm with you though. Like I'm about fairness. Like you're right about Rudy Gobert. Like he messed up the market. You're so right about that. And I had this discussion. You don't trade Kevin Durant. Like Kyrie. I mean, he didn't win anything, but he's so talented. Don't get wrong, but he hasn't won anything yet. But one championship. Yeah. But that's because everybody says that he can't do it by himself. He's basically like a number two, right? With all that offensive skill, right? At this point in time, he's a number two. So gifted offensively, but he's a number two. But Kevin Durant is interesting to me. I don't feel like this thing, like if you trade for Kevin Durant, you just can't, I don't like that you can just get players, like hopeful players for players like Kevin Durant. That crap ain't fair to me. Like for real. Like I've heard some of the stuff that the players that I like, a lot of players that the Suns have. I do. I like Bridges. I like Ayton. I actually do like Ayton. I like, Cam Johnson, excuse me.
Yeah.
But they ain't Kevin Durant. Like, they're not even close.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, I don't – that's not good enough. Like, I need a dog for a dog. It's like, for me, I'm going to be real with you. If the Lakers wanted to say, hey, AD for – I'm yes, that's fair enough. Like, I want – it's got to be that level of stardom to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's Kevin Durant for a Brown or even a Tatum, but, I mean, they're still – like, Tatum's so young, they're going to say no. But you know what I mean? Like, that level of talent. It can't be like, oh, they young and they got like a Hero. No, I don't care for Tyler Hero. Like, he's good, but I don't care. Like, Bam. Bam is good. He's talented, but he's not close to Kevin Durant. Like, what's the best Bam's going to ever be? Like, for real, what's the best he's going to be?
Yeah, he's gonna be an all-star.
Best, right?
Like
best all-star, right? Best. But the like Kevin Durant, even at 30 plus, it's still the best of Kevin Durant. Is still 28 easy. Like, 30 easy. Right, like a player that when you like that puts fear in your heart when he has the ball last, because there's nothing that you can do to stop him, because he's a 7 foot dude, 7 footer with a quick first step, pat, everything you want as an offensive player. It don't matter.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to play it. Like, so when you trade Kevin Durant, if Brooklyn trades him, please do it fairly. Like, please don't be stupid. Like, trade him and get something that's real in return. Like, that is real.
No, I definitely agree with that. And it's going to be tough because the Suns, they just signed Devin Booker to an extension, so they can't trade him.
Yep, can't.
But
I would get him. That's who I would see. That's my thing. Like, I heard the Suns, and when I heard the Suns, it was like, yo, it should be Devin Booker. Like, to be real with you, it should be, in all thought process, it should be Devin Booker, but it won't be Devin Booker.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his. And the thing is, I live out here in Phoenix. They love Devin Booker out here.
They should.
Like, Devin Booker is the Suns.
Yeah.
So I didn't see them giving up Devin Booker. And they was going to be willing to give up everything else. Like, Ayton has been a whole situation, yeah, how they haven't paid this man yet. Mm-hmm. So they're willing to trade Ayton for sure. Mm-hmm. Probably Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and probably, you know, a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
But like you said, if the Nets want to be competitive, they should try to get a star back. It's just, who's willing to give up a star? And I hope the Lakers thing doesn't happen. The whole Anthony Davis, Aaron Russell Westbrook for Kyrie and Kevin Durant. I hope that doesn't happen.
I'm a Laker fan, so I hope it does happen.
Bro, I'll be so mad if LeBron and KD and Kyrie on the same team. Oh, man. I'll be so upset if that happens. I just want competitive balance. Like, right now, the league is so balanced. Yeah,
it is
competitive.
Balanced. It is balanced, man.
And I love it. Like, this has been so exciting, like, going into NBA playoffs and not knowing exactly who's going to win. Like, there's been past years where we knew, like, okay, if these teams stay healthy, they're going to meet each other. This year, we had no clue. Yeah. We had no clue who was going to make the finals this year.
I will say this, though, you know, as a Laker fan, to be real with you, if it happened, it'd be great. It'd be the greatest thing in the world. I ain't going to lie. Would it be a guarantee? I'm not going to be here and feed you BS. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be the happiest person ever. But I've said this before. It would take the league is intelligent. This is what I mean by that is, like, year one, yes, they could probably run through it. Maybe year two, well, LeBron's older, so year one they could probably win a championship, and it would probably be, yeah, year one would be all right. Year two would be a problem. Like, the year two would be more of a challenge for the Lakers because everybody gets smarter and they get used to certain things. Just like, even Miami with the big three, it took them about 2 years for people to kind of get used to it. Even with Golden State, it took them, because Kevin Durant was so hard, right? It was so hard. But it took them at least that, you know, that third year where it was like, all right, it got a little tougher. It's starting to get a little tougher.
Yeah, so, Houston gave them a good run.
You know what I mean? Like, it gets tougher. Like, because you get used to it. If you're hooping against somebody for a long time, even though they stack, you're getting used to certain things. So you kind of, like, get used to the okay, this is what they are. This is what it is. Like, this is the team. You know what I'm saying? You're kind of getting over the damn, you got Steph. Damn, you got Klay. Damn, you got Kevin Durant. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're over that now. Now it's like, oh, you got him already. We already know that. You know what I'm saying? So, if they did, it'd be probably a year thing. But Lakers ain't getting no Kevin Durant, Kyrie. I ain't worried about that. I know it's not going to happen. The league won't let that happen. That's too much. You're not having Kevin Durant and LeBron on the same team. I'm sorry, it's not gonna happen. I know I'm too smart. I'm too smart of a basketball fan to know it's not gonna happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to put that in. Like, I'm not.
You think Adam Silver busts a David Stern and has some basketball reasons out there?
No, he let it happen because it's money. It's L.A. But still,
yeah,
it's L.A. It's the Lakers. It's not the Clippers. It's the Lakers. If it was the Clippers, it'd be a whole different thing. But it's the Lakers, so it'd be like, we may let this slide. But you know what? Before I let you go, man, this has been dope. I've been talking to you for a while because I can talk basketball for ages. Can you tell listeners about your pod or your next pod you got going on, and also how they can catch you on social media?
Yeah, man, I definitely enjoyed this conversation a lot. Mm-hmm. Hey, when you want to talk boxing, bro, just let me know.
I'm definitely here. You're my boxing list already. I wrote you down. You good? You there? You on the next boxing joint? And we have boxing roundtable discussion, so I'm going to invite you on to our roundtable discussion.
Okay, yeah. Definitely. I'm down.
All right, cool.
So you can find me on social media at The Real Deal WDA. That's The Real Deal, W as in whiskey, D as in Delta, A as in Alpha. That's on all social media platforms. So I'm always doing, like, little reaction videos to boxing matches, to basketball moves, football stuff. I'm a big Saints fan, so football season, you're going to see me doing my reaction video to Saints games. And, like, you'll definitely get a good laugh out of those. Because I'm really animated when it comes to my Saints. And for my podcast, it's called The Real Deal with Damian Adams. Again, that's where I talk NFL, NBA, and boxing. You'll get, you know, just the best of me in my mind. I have music breaks. Like, it's a good little show that I put together.
Awesome, man.
And I just did a new one today. So if you want to go ahead and check it out, go subscribe now. And you'll catch that one where I talk about the Deshaun Watson situation along with the NBA stuff that's going on. And the 3rd and 3 podcast is available on all podcast platforms as well.
Okay.
But if you want to participate in that show, we do it live on Facebook every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So if you want to come in the chat and join the conversation, you definitely can. Anytime somebody comes in, we always share their comments.
Okay.
You could definitely have fun with us and join the conversation. And just, you know, chill out with us, man, and podcast and chill. That's what I do, man.
Podcast and chill. That's a third. That's a, so it's a third. And, it's a third and three Facebook page.
Yes.
All right. So yeah, I'm gonna make sure I like it. I'm gonna make sure I jump on that. All right. I subscribed to the podcast already, so it's already happened. So man, I appreciate you being on. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna have you on my list of my boxing roundtable discussion. It's probably gonna be centered around when Spence and Crawford get together. That's probably what's gonna be the more central point. Cause that's I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for that.
For sure, man. Hey, they gotta go ahead. If they listening, man, go ahead and sign the contract.
Sign it. I thought it was gonna happen like a month ago when I got the alert. I got the alert. Like, oh, they close to approaching the deal. I was like, what? Huh? And then all of a sudden, it's been like crickets. I haven't heard anything.
That's another thing. Before I get off, let us know when it's close.
I'm with you. I need to stop doing that, man, for real.
Yeah.
Because every time, like, they need to stop doing it. Because I get hype when I hear close. Yeah. You know, I get real hype. But when it comes to those two, it's always some bull crap. Because other folks, when it's close, it's done. Like, when they said that, you know, Anthony Joshua and I think Anthony Joshua, not before that, even way before, I think they said Fury. It's Fury. They said it was close and it happened. But then, you know, it got messed up because Anthony lost to Usyk. So it is what it is. But they said, like, when they say it's close, I'll give credit to Eddie Hearn. He tried to make it happen. He don't play. He tried to make it happen.
Yeah.
Eddie tried to make it happen, man. He do. It's just if it don't happen, it don't happen. He do put in effort. Like, you can't say that his big fighters, like, when they try to make something, if you talk it, he's trying to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll give him that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure. You know what I'm saying? For sure. And Eddie Hearn, Matchroom, and The Zone, they do a good job of trying to make the fights happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need PBC to step up and do it. Like I said, with Crawford and Spence, man, there's no excuse now. Crawford's no longer Top Rank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like. I don't even get what the whole thing is. It's like, I know, all right, I'm going to talk about this. It's all good, though. Like, my thing is, like, all right, I get, like, you can't, if the hang up is a home and home, that got to be canceled. Nobody going to come watch that fight in Nebraska. Like, that's they don't hold enough. You need to make the gate got to be real. So I know he's saying that why we got to fight in Texas. Well, I'm sure he's not talking using home, but I'm sure the argument is Vegas, Texas, right? It got to be in Vegas. I'll say this much. It should be in Vegas. But somebody had to argue with me, like, well, had a good point. Was like, yo, I mean, really, Earl should hold that type of leverage because he's the fighter who brings in the most money, and you know, Texas does well.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I don't think that, like, you're not gonna get cheated. It's not gonna be a thing that you're cheated in Texas when you're fighting Earl. Like, I feel like within this fight,
yeah. Now they both Americans, so I wouldn't worry about somebody getting cheated. And plus, Cowboy Stadium, Errol Spence has sold out like 40,000.
Exactly,
seats
bro.
There.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's where the money is.
That's
like,
what the
why
money
not
is.
Go there? Yeah, like, I agree. Like, go to Texas, and if you really that dude, go beat him in Texas.
Yeah,
like, go embarrass him in his house.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I that's why I was like, it kind of swayed me because I was like, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't matter because you're that guy. You beat him in Texas. And if you beat him, like, you're getting that money, you're still getting that gate money. And then the second, I'm sure it's a two fight deal anyway. So
yeah,
you're gonna
sure.
get that. You're gonna get the next fight. You're probably gonna get more of the, you know, get more of the whatever, more of the funds. So you're good, bro. Like, it don't even matter. Like, to
just
me,
just look at what Devin Haney did. Devin Haney went to Australia.
Yes, embarrassed that man. And embarrassed.
Yeah,
that
and took
man.
This man belt and took this man belt and killed him off.
I mean,
like, so you could do the same thing, bro.
And to me, Earl showed to do that when he fought Kell Brook in his prime. He went over there to beat Kell Brook. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, in Kell Brook prime. So I'm just saying, like, you could do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they ain't no big deal. You could fight in Texas. And if you're as good as everyone says Bud is, like, they say he's the best. Pound for pound, he's so skilled. So he can go switch to southpaw. I get this argument all the time. If he's that good and, you know, he's that much better than Earl, then he can beat Earl in Texas. Because if he's not – I mean – because Earl has already shown you that he's willing to fight elsewhere. He's done it before. So I'm just saying that if he's that good, I'm talking about quality opponents. I'm not talking about, like, you know, Joe Horn, like that crap.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a real opponent. Like, if you're willing to fight Earl, like, if you think you're that good, fight Earl in Texas. And if you beat him, then you beat him. But But that shouldn't be a snag. Like, that shouldn't be anything. And it should. And if we're talking about still talking about purses, then there's still a track record, bro. Like, I'm still think I think Bud deserves more money now. But you shouldn't be like, depending on what you're asking for, it shouldn't be like 50-50. Like, I know that. Like, I'm not gonna be stupid. It shouldn't be 50-50. Like, still understand the gate and what you brought to the table in terms of what you've done in the past compared to what Earl has done in the past. Like, be real about that.
For sure. Now, we agree 100% on this one. Like, they got to go ahead and get it signed. Even if you do 55-45 out of respect for what Bud's done in the past, cool. Do it that way.
Yeah.
Get it done. And then whoever wins, like, that's one thing about boxing. You could do, hey, whoever wins gets 60.
Yes.
You really about
you
that
could
life.
Do that. You could do that.
Whoever wins gets 60%.
You could.
And it's like, okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Let's go. Whoever wins gets 60%. The loser still gets paid, but they don't get as much. Like, let's just do it that way.
But it probably won't happen that way because, you know, but Earl going with his money. I get that. Like, I'm not, but it should, that'd be dope. But I would say this, whoever wins the next fight, they get the bigger purse. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's fair. Like, if you feel confident, my thing, if you that dude, if you feel like you're the better boxer, be confident you're going to win. Then the next, if I'm Bud and I feel like, yo, like, this ain't close enough, but if I ain't 50-50, all right, you know what? On part fight two, because there'll be a fight two, right? It's a two fight deal.
Yeah.
You'll get the more, you'll get the 60. Like, how about that?
Sure.
If you're that much, but if you lose, then yeah, you're kind of, you know, you're down twice.
Like, yeah, for sure.
That's what I'm saying. You're down twice. But I'm just saying, like, that's fair. Like, you, this way, you end up making the money, even though you still may not be the draw in terms of popular fan, you know, the fan, you know what I mean? But still, you'll get most of the money.
No, I agree 100%, man. Like, there's no need for these hold up in boxing. And we can learn something from the women, man. Like, on September 10th, you got Clarissa Shields. Yeah, her card where they have the undercard, you have Michaela Mayer going against Alicia Baumgartner. The fact that you have those two fights on the same card, these women were able to agree on that, like, that shows you something. Like, this could happen. Like, you could have these cards happen right away without all this complication. So let's get it done, man.
Let's get it done. Hey, but appreciate you being on, man. We're going to rap. This is a guarantee. We're going to rap.
Oh, for sure. For sure, man. So I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you, man. You stay blessed.
You too.
All right. Bye. All right, man. That was dope, man. Make sure you follow Damian on Twitter at TheRealDealWDA. All right. As part of our HBCU Corner segment, we'll play our interview with new Morgan State football coach Damon Wilson after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports saying, Fightus, Yiddick, deuces.
Jerusalem, Ikayalami, Gilondoloze, Uambenami, Zungangishilana, Jerusalem, Ikayalami, Gilondoloze, Uambenami, Zungangishilana.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. It's time for HBCU Corner. We literally had this coach on this show a couple months ago when he coached for Bowie State University. He was a football coach for Bowie State University. He is now the head coach of Morgan State University. Welcome to the MEAC, as UMES individuals. So I want to say welcome to the MEAC. And also, welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene, Coach Damon Wilson.
Yes, sir, guys. I appreciate the invite to get back on the show here, and I'm excited to be in the MEAC.
Ray, tell me about MEAC life, Ray. Tell me about MEAC life.
Just jokingly said after you came on with us, you got a new job. But what is dope is the Bowie State to Morgan State pipeline. You got Coach Brodus, Bowie State alum, and now you. Congratulations. Real talk, it's a blessing to see this happen and evolve. Real talk.
Yes, sir, it is. I'm very appreciative of the opportunity, for sure.
All right, cool. I know we joked around about the CIAA tournament, but now you're in the MEAC. So are you going to be able to still do the CIAA? It's in Baltimore.
Well, without a doubt, I'm still an alum of a CIAA school at Boise State University. So, you know, I have to go back and support my alma mater in my conference that gave me my first start as a head football coach. So I would definitely be back at the tournament in Baltimore.
Awesome. All right, well, let's get right into it. We all mentioned a couple weeks ago, you were announced as Morgan State football coach. So what made you make the move to Morgan?
I think the timing was right. I spoke to Dr. Wilson, the president here at Morgan State, and Ms. Dina, the athletic director, and I thought the timing was right to take this opportunity. I had the blessings of some people that I really value their opinion, and some of those guys were my student athletes at Bowie State. And, with some kind words they gave me, I thought this timing was right, and I think the opportunity and the possibilities are endless here at Morgan State.
So, Coach, you know, you led Bowie State to three straight CIAA championships, including a championship in 2021. You're also a Bowie State alumnus, which you mentioned. How hard was it to leave Bowie State, though?
Oh, extremely hard. You know, that place gave me an opportunity to receive 2 degrees, gave me an opportunity to go from a young man to a man, you know, and let alone the professional career that I was able to establish there at Bowie State University and provide for my family. So I'm forever grateful for the university and what it's done for me personally and professionally.
All right, Coach, I don't know how well you follow Morgan State on social media, but they're active. Your university, now I ain't gonna say they, is y'all.
Yeah.
Morgan State is active on social media, so there's a lot of buzz about, okay, what's Coach Wilson going to bring to the table his first season? Can you just tell us what's your goal in your first year as being head coach at Morgan State University?
I want to win the championship. You know, that's not going to change. What our goals are going to be our goals, and the standard is going to be the standard. We understand it's a process. And one thing you guys mentioned early was about the three championships that we won at Bowie State. However, I lost some championships too as the head coach at Bowie State University. I think we went to 6 or 7 in my time there. So it was an opportunity to, you know, go through that process and understand what it takes to win a championship. And, you know, so that's our goal, is to win the championship. But we also understand the process. You know, we're not going to cheat the process. We're going to focus on getting better each day and doing the little things right, doing the things that don't require any talent, do those things right. And I think we'll have an opportunity to be where we want to be at the end of the year.
Coach, I think I read something that you're not just like winning the championship in terms of me, like you want to win the whole national championship. That's the goal.
That's not going to change. If I'm not mistaken, I think there are 18 teams that's considered for the Celebration Bowl. And that's 12 teams in the SWAC and 6 in the MEAC. There are 160 teams that play FCS football. So our goal is to be the best of 160. You know, and with accomplishing that goal, we will have an opportunity to, of course, participate in a Celebration Bowl, you know, and be in that environment, and which is a great opportunity for our student athletes. But we're going to follow the process. We're not going to cheat the process. And, you know, we do what we're supposed to do. We'll be in great shape at the end of.
So how is the process right now, meeting some of your new players and also recruiting?
I had to laugh. Yesterday, what I did was I spent the whole day because I haven't met the team in person. Uh-huh. So I thought it was important for me to meet the team as best I could. And I did it on Zoom. You know, I spent the whole day spending 10 minutes with each player that's returning to the program. So that was a 8:30 in the morning to a 5:30 p.m. deal with 10-minute interviews or 10-minute conversations, I should say, with each student-athlete. And that was amazing just to hear these guys' passion and their willingness and their desire to win and to get better. So I'm really excited about that, definitely, after I spoke to the team individually. And we look to have everybody on campus for the second summer session in July.
So, Coach, obviously, we know the history at Morgan State University, and we know that you came from Bowie State, both schools, of course, HBCUs. How did that factor into your decision? Is it important for you to continue to coach within the HBCU program and school?
Well, I love giving back to young people, you know, and then HBCU is where I went to school, is where I pretty much laid my hat in my coaching career thus far. One thing I tell everybody is not HBCU brand of football. HBCU is the university in which the, you know, we were founded upon. But at the end of the day, the brand of football we teach and we play is going to be the football that's played across the board in PWI world as well. So that's something that we're going to continue to educate our student athletes on, but we also want to embrace that HBCU experience and everything that comes with that. But it was definitely important to be in an environment which is conducive and to you know, what I'm trying to get done and also impact the people that I want to impact.
So, Coach, for Morgan State alums, what would be your message to them about your brand of football, what you're going to bring to the program?
Well, we're going to be physical. You know, we're going to be a disciplined group. It will be exciting to watch. And one thing as an alum, what I ask everybody to do at this point is, man, embrace being an alum and do what alums are supposed to do. And that's support your program, support our current student athletes, be there for the student athletes, teach the student athletes how to be alums, and everything else will take care of itself. But embrace this, man. This is going to be a fun journey. Embrace it. You know, don't think about what happened yesterday or last year. Let's look at what we're doing moving forward. You know, Morgan State University has a lot of rich history within its football program and has Hall of Famers, you know, to play at Morgan State University. So, you know, the good thing about it is at one point, this was a very successful program. You know, Coach Banks and those guys did a great job. Coach Hurt did a great job of taking this program to new levels. And what I envision myself and our staff doing is getting back to those days. But I'm going to need everybody's hands on deck. We're going to need a lot of positive energy and guys, you know, holding their end of the rope. And that's alums as well. It's holding their end of the rope, and we'll be in great shape moving forward.
Well, Coach, University of Maryland, show Ray and I, we went there. We don't have a football team, so we'll be rooting for you.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to say a lie. I'm invested in all HBCUs right now. You know, yeah. we do a lot of interviews, and I ain't going to sit here and say, listen, I'm going to support you, brother. I'm going to support all HBCUs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ray Basie, that's what I'm saying, bro.
listen, Morgan was our rival in basketball when I was there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you was there, huh?
It's kind of difficult to root for Morgan, but you know, hey, I'll be up there. I'll bring some mumbo sauce. I'll bring some of DC culture. up 295. Baltimore is my second home. Real talk. Now, that's real. Congratulations.
I appreciate it, man. Bring the mumbo sauce and the wings, baby. We need it.
You already know.
They go with the
curry. You already know. You know, there's an upcharge in wings right now, even in the curry house. hey, Coach, yeah. Thanks for being on. Is there anything you would like to add before we let you go?
Hey, now, guys, once again, man, I appreciate it, man. You guys do a great job. Covering HBCU sports and just sports in general. And really, really thankful to have an opportunity to be before you guys again. And I look forward to talking to you guys in the near future.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it too, Coach.
You got it. I appreciate you.
Man, Coach Damon Wilson is amazing, man. Cool dude, man. Like I said, man, I'm rooting for him. I want him to do big things. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. Tune in iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure, again, make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. I need y'all to do this. We trying to get the 50 subscriptions. I ain't even asking for like 100 or off-brand. I'm trying to do baby steps. So get us the 50. Oh, excuse me, not Urban. That's the wrong one. I'm thinking about it. No, I'm trying to get the 300 subscriptions. I'm sorry. Urban Sports Scene YouTube page is kind of booming. Give me the 300. All right. I might ask for 1,000. Give me the 300 and we can see what's going to happen. We also have the All Burgundy and Gold Earring thing YouTube channel. I'm trying to get that to 50 subscriptions. So if y'all listening to both shows, get that to 50. Come on, man. If you're a Washington Commanders fan, get that one to 50. Don't be stingy. Come on. Stop being greedy. Give it to the needy. All right. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great, great content. All right, y'all. Appreciate y'all for tuning in, man. We basically did like a two-hour show up in here, man. But it was dope, though, man. You know, Damien, he came on this show. We was chopping it up. And I was like, I was chopping it with the homie. So he was cool, man. So appreciate y'all for tuning in. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for I Just Ya Dig Deuces. Hey, Mega, do me a favor, my man. Lead us out, big homie.